Thank you, Cindy, for inviting me to speak. I'm Roger. I live in Anchorage, Alaska, and been in OA for 8 or 9 years. When I was asked to come speak at the meeting, I hesitated a little bit because I thought, yeah, maybe I'm not worthy of speaking. My experience with OA has been kind of mediocre. I've not hit rock bottom. Like, I hear so many speakers talk about such devastating experiences they've had, and I cannot really put myself in that same category. I've not had a problem with weight. I'm not bulimic and I'm not anorexic. And sometimes I even wonder if I really belong in OA. But I do have a compulsion to overeat, and I've had it all my life. I also recall the phrase that I hear so many times at OA meetings: no matter what your problem with food, you're welcome here. So that helps me to feel worthy of being here and being in OA. I also recall reading something in the Big Book by Bill W. that said something like that he applauded the alcoholics who caught their disease early and didn't hit rock bottom, that they recognized their addiction and were willing to do something about it. I do feel like I'm in that category. I'm fortunate that that has happened with me. Basically, I've been an overeater all my life, even just right after birth. I had an experience that I believe probably contributed to my compulsive eating. My mother's breast milk had no nutrition in it, and nobody discovered that for about 3 weeks. So my first 3 weeks on this planet were, oh, there's not enough food here. There's not enough nutrition. And I got that start right from the very beginning of thinking, I've got to make up for this lack of food. And I have been a compulsive eater all my life. And there are other contributing factors, but that was one of them, I believe. I've always used food to hide from attacks from others. In a way, I almost feel like I'm a minority. I was the shortest kid in my class. I was redheaded. I was freckle-faced. I was left-handed. I was bullied. I was a bedwetter. I mean, all these things lined up and told me that I wasn't good enough. That mantra of not good enough is something I've been working on all my, well, I've been lately been working on, but I realize that's been part of my life. That shortcoming of self-condemnation, I've experienced a lot of that. I am naturally an introverted person and shy. I don't usually get up and speak, but I do once I stand up and start speaking, then I sometimes feel more comfortable, sharing what I have to offer to people. This addiction to food was with me all through my young life. And I recognized that in things like my favorite part of my school day was lunch. I was so excited to get to lunch, to be able to eat, because I could hide in that food. And then early on, I'd go to like a be invited to a social thing as an early teen. And so shy that I would stand by the refreshment table and just eat and eat and eat. I can remember once even overhearing one of the chaperones saying, "Gee, Roger, sure eating a lot of donuts." And it was because I was afraid to get out and mingle with people. I was introverted. As I later on in my young life, I found another addiction, marijuana. I smoked marijuana for over 10 years. And I found a solution to that. Now, I was brought up in a pretty traditional Protestant church, but I got away from that as I went to college. And then when I got to my college years, I found this marijuana addiction, and that was with me for a while. But the way I got through that was that I discovered a more appropriate form of my higher power in those years. And by tuning into that more appropriate higher power, I was able to stop smoking marijuana. It was a long, slow process, but I'm patient and I was willing to wait it out. And I watched myself wean myself off of it. But it was my higher power that helped me. It was probably, I took some personal growth seminars back in those days, and they gave me tools. They gave me the tool of being comfortable with sharing my shortcomings and my fears with people that were around me. That helped me a lot too, I think, in getting over my addiction to marijuana. And shortly after taking those personal growth seminars, I finally met somebody who was willing to spend the rest of their life with me. I got married in the mid 40s, and the loneliness left me, and I didn't think about any compulsions to overeat. I was probably still overeating to some extent at that point, but it didn't bother me during those times of 17 years that I was married. However, unfortunately, my wife passed away suddenly after 17 years of marriage, and I was lonely again. And being lonely again, I started trying to figure out what I can do about that. Now, back just before I met Kathleen, I stumbled upon a brochure rack in the basement of a church, an OA rack of brochures. It was also an AA meeting room. And I picked up that 15 questions, Are you an overeater? And I looked through there and I saw, oh, there, and I checked them off and I came up with four little reasons that I was a compulsive overeater. And I took note of that, and I think I attended a meeting or two, but then again, I thought, no, I'm not really an overeater. There's not enough check marks on that list for to comply with me for being an overeater. So I continued on with my life, but oh, I'd say 10 years or so later, I started having these intense sinus headaches. They would last for hours, and I was struggling with figuring out how I could possibly get the reason for having these headaches. I consulted health providers and tried eliminating different foods. Then I finally took an allergy blood test. And lo and behold, there were several foods on that list that popped up that I was basically addicted to, that I was overeating those foods, and they became an opportunity for me to finally figure out how to eliminate these sinus headaches. But those foods that I enjoyed, I was addicted to. I was compulsively eating them. And I continued to work on that and eliminate some foods, but I was still having the headaches, and almost as frequently as it in the beginning. And after several years of this, I finally took another allergy test and found that, oh, those foods that I had stopped eating, they fell off of the list. But new foods came onto the list. So I had this dancing target of foods that were causing these headaches. And I was getting pretty frustrated with this. I thought, if I can't have a reliable test, how am I going to figure this out? And then I began to realize that if I'm eating a food that I crave, then that is a signal from my higher power that that's a food I need to get rid of. And I find actually that to be more indicative of what I need to stop eating, is to pay attention to and listen to my higher power. So that's a brief history of what my life has been like as a compulsive overeater. But this program, the OA program, I so appreciate it. In this program, we get to create our own higher power. We get to create our own food plan. We have a lot of flexibility in this program, and that attracted me to this program. But I've found that using all the tools helped me. I need to hit them all. I read literature daily. That helps me a lot. My favorite is For Today. That's the one that I really like, but I have some others too that I read. Reaching out has helped me a lot. I reach out, I make phone calls. And as a result of that, I end up getting phone calls from other people. So I get to talk to OAs almost every day, I'd say every day. But what I've found that's really helpful to me is I have a list of OA contacts, and I've picked them up at meetings and regional conferences and places like that. And I've added them to my contact list. But I found it's really helpful to me to go back, find a name on that that I haven't contacted. I've gotten people on there that I had not ever contacted before. So I was a little hesitant to initiate a conversation with them, but every single one of them is open and willing to share and happy that I called. And that's another reinforcement for being in this program is that the people in this program are so understanding and willing to share their experience and willing to talk. That's really helpful. Meditation, I've been meditating for decades. I started that way back before I got into OA, many years before that, and it's a tool that I find so helpful. If I have a good meditation at the beginning of my day goes better. It goes smoother. I more than make up for the time I, quote, lost in meditation during the day, and I feel like I have had a better day. I've also recently discovered, kind of along the same lines, of setting an intention at the beginning of my day, if I remember to set an intention of how I'm going to behave during the day, it helps me. It helps me to focus on the most important things. Meetings. I love going to meetings. Meetings help me. One thing that I've noticed in OA meetings is OAers know how to listen. Listening is a skill that I was introduced to even before I got into OA by a teacher who encouraged us to not be thinking of a response to someone while they're talking, but to truly listen and even to pause and wait. She encouraged us to pause and wait 8 seconds after somebody finishes talking to respond. That giving us that time to process what the person was saying and really think about it helped me to become a better listener. And believe me, I needed that help because I was not a good listener early on. So OA meetings are, great places for listening. The skill there is great. We don't interrupt each other. I also appreciate that. Writing is a tool that I've found very helpful to me. I used to wake up worrying about something. 3:30 in the morning, I would wake up. I couldn't get back to sleep. And then a friend of mine said, "Oh, when I do that," he said, "I just get up and start journaling." And so I started doing that, and I found that if I got up, instead of lying there for an hour trying to get back to sleep, if I got up and wrote something and journaled and got my feelings out on a piece of paper, then I could get back to sleep. Within half an hour, I'd be able to go back and rest. And so journaling has been something that I've been doing for also a long time. I had a girlfriend way back who introduced me to journaling, and I really appreciate that. So writing, I like the writing meetings that we have. Action plan. I work better when I have a routine. So my action plan includes setting up times when I'm planning to eat my meals. I work better that way. If I have it ahead of me, if I have my food all planned out for the day and texted to my sponsor. sponsorship. I just have recently started sponsoring. It took me a long time to realize that I didn't have to be perfect to sponsor. And so once I realized that, I opened myself up to the wonderful experience of sponsoring someone else. And I'm enjoying my first sponsee right now. We just got started a few months ago. Service is something that helps me feel better. Like right now, I'm doing service. I'm speaking, and I'm getting something out of it myself, and that makes service a really valuable thing to be able to not only help someone else or help other people, but to help yourself. So, I participate and I'm on the intergroup board here in Anchorage, and we have a meeting tomorrow. So that's coming up. The tool anonymity, I thought, how is this a tool? How do I use this tool? And I really couldn't figure it out for a while, but I finally, after rereading the definition of anonymity, I find that the anonymity that we have during the meetings, being anonymous, helps me to share things and feel like I'm safe. I can safely share with other people. And of course, there are the steps. I go through this. I went through the first time I went through was with a group of OAers, and then I went through with a sponsor, and then I go. We have a step study meeting here in Alaska that I participate in. So I'm constantly going through those over the whole year's time, the 12 months. But I really get a lot out of working the steps. It's an important part of my program. And the steps and this whole program have given me not just a tool to get over my compulsive eating. It gives me a tool to live. It's like life itself. This is a tool for living. This is a tool for relating with people. This is a tool for finding peace within myself. This is a tool that is just overall wonderful for my entire life, not just my eating. So my hope in being in Overeaters Anonymous is that I will continue to be able to adapt and progress. It's one of my mantras these days, adapt and progress. And it's helping me spiritually, becoming more spiritual. My hope is that I will continue to become more spiritual. In fact, I believe that my awareness of my higher power is also growing. I haven't just locked in and set on my little definition of my higher power. To me, my higher power is so much greater than I could possibly imagine. How am I going to say that I know exactly what my higher power is for me? It's an evolving thing, and I want to keep evolving with that. And I want to be open spiritually to progressing in that realm as well. Emotionally, I'm more at peace with myself. My hope is that I will continue to enjoy life, to continue to become more compassionate. And that's one of my hopes. And hopefully I will eventually be able to totally get rid of the headaches. I don't know if that will happen. I'm still having them from time to time. But that's also one of my hopes, that physically I will not be plagued by those headaches. That's all I have. I want to thank you all for inviting me and for listening. And thank you again.